Hey, it's Jason Daiba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast. This episode features a talk by Shelley Giglio, recorded live at Passion 2020 in Mercedes-Benz Stadium with 65,000 people in the room lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm excited for you to hear this talk from Shelley Giglio.
So today we're going to talk about faith and wisdom. Pretty familiar words, I think, in the Christian camp. Faith and wisdom. I love that when God talks about faith, he says this about it. In Hebrews 11:6, he says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So a lot of us in this space have heard over the last couple of days that the option is there for us to be pleasers of the heart of God, that we can actually put our lives on a track of purpose that maybe we hadn't even ever imagined before we came into this place. But how? How do we live a life that matters? How do we choose to believe God when circumstances and challenges are all around us? I believe God is really clear that we have an opportunity to put faith and trust in him in ways that move our lives along to their intended purpose. And I want us to talk about for a minute. Hebrews 11, open it up if you have it on your phone, or I'm gonna put my glasses on so I can also read it. In Hebrews 11, the verse I referred to was verse 6, but it starts like this. "Now faith is being sure of what you hoped for and certain of what you do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." This chapter, as many of you are aware, is full of people that God commended. He said about them, "Way to go." So this would be an interesting chapter for us to study. If we want a life that we get to the end of and God said, "Way to go," then this is something we might want to think about. In verse 2, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what had been seen was not made out of what was visible." And then it goes on to talk about the first of many of these people in the list of faith. What I love about it is that it goes on to say that without faith, it's impossible to please God. My favorite verse in this is when it talks about Enoch. How many of you guys know who Enoch is? Anybody familiar with Enoch? He's not like a Noah or Moses. He's more of is there a rank? Well, anyway, he's not as familiar. I can't say that. Okay, so Enoch is the one that it talks about in the scripture that he walked so closely with God that one day he was on his daily walk with God and God just took him up. Nobody ever found him. They didn't find his body. They don't know what happened to him exactly, except that they knew that he was on a walk with God. And the next thing they knew, he was gone. And he says about Enoch, "Oh, that we could be that close to God, that we would actually be in God's presence, and that God could long for that communion with us so much that one day we could be on a walk with God and he would just say, 'Come on home.'" I love that about Enoch. And I love that it's possible for us. In scripture, it talks about a lot of things about faith. But one of the things that spoke loudest to me is that faith requires obedience. It's really easy in a room like this or at a Christian conference, I think, to talk about faith because that's a common thing. But rarely do we talk about the obedience that accompanies faith. I believe that Jesus wants to build, not through just my life, but through your life, a house of faith. I believe that he has a whole plethora of people who are gonna populate the house of faith that you build. When I stand here in this room with 65,000 of you, I know that God has built this house by faith. So Louis and I got married 33 years ago. It's been a minute. Y'all want to know how we met? Just briefly. I don't have time for this. Okay, maybe briefly. You don't care. You don't care. You care a little bit. Okay. So Louis and I met when I was 18 years old. I was a lot skinnier. My hair was still blonde because I diet and will forever. We met at a church. And the way we met is kind of miraculous because Louis grew up in Atlanta. So this is hometown for Louis, which is pretty cool. Full circle, all the way back to Atlanta. I grew up in Texas, so that's why I have a little bit of attitude. Yep. If anybody just wants to yell Texas forever, go for it. We're loud and proud. A little bit prideful, God will deal with that, it's fine. So I grew up in Texas, Louis grew up in Atlanta. We didn't really have a way to meet each other. Turns out Louis's just slightly older than me. Quite a bit. 6 years. And he was finished with college and had moved on to seminary. Fortunately, by the grace of God, his seminary was in Texas because all good things happen in Texas. Yep. It's true, isn't it, Texans? So he came to go to seminary in Texas. I was a student at Baylor University. Please, sic'em Bears. All you Georgia fans, say you're sorry. Say it. We lost to Georgia last night for all of you people who have no idea. All right, come on, dogs. Let's hear you. This is not even the Tebow session, and you people are barking. He's a Gator, by the way. Don't try it with him. I think it's amazing because God sent Louis to Texas, and obviously it was to be trained for ministry, and thank God he was trained for ministry. But I believe primarily it was to meet me, right? Right. So as he came, we actually were, I was a student at Baylor, he was a student in seminary, we met at a church in Houston, we began dating, kind of in a weird way. Are you from Champion Forest Baptist Church? Okay. So we met in Houston, we started dating, we weren't really supposed to date, the pastor had been really clear about that. Turns out the intern from the year previous had dated all the people in the church. It was really inappropriate. Don't do that. If you walk away with anything today, walk away with that. Don't do that. Okay. But when Louis and a group of interns came to the church, the pastor was such a cool guy. He said, hey, it's really not cool for you to date anybody in the church. However, if God leads you to a person that you believe you're supposed to spend your life with, then come and talk to me. Louis always tells a story that he started laughing hysterically, like, I'm sure I'll be right down there talking to him. 2 weeks later, 2 weeks. Hi. God was at work. I was 18, guys. I was clueless. How many of you in the room are 18 years old? Let's do one more show of hands. How many of you in the room are 18 years old? And keep them up if you're also clueless. If you're clueless, keep them up. Yep. Yeah, I know. I had no idea. The point is what God was doing. But I loved God. When Louis came to be the intern, a group of us students showed up at the house he was staying at. He was staying at this couple's house that agreed to host him for the summer. He didn't know them, they didn't know him, but there he sat in the living room watching TV with them. And about six students or eight students that I was friends with showed up at the house one night we rang the doorbell, and Mrs. Hammer, who was lovely, came to the door. She answered the door, and it was us, and she knew, obviously, it wasn't for her, so she started saying, "Louie, I think there are people at the door for you." He came to the door, and the thing that we said when he arrived at the door is, "Hi, this is who we all are." We introduced ourselves. And then we said this, "Hey, we don't want to spend our summer at ice cream socials. We want to know God." Do you know God? We've been learning about this thing called exchange life, where he takes our death, our humanness, and he exchanges it for the power of the Holy Spirit and becomes that life in us. Do you know anything about that? Do you think you could teach us this summer? And that moment, God was at work. Not because we knew anything, but because we wanted him. And some of you in this conference, this last couple of days, you've reached that point of understanding. You might not be in the 18-year-old, you might be in the 25-year-old, but all of a sudden, you've awakened to the idea that I can desire God. You know, Scripture says, and it says it really clearly, that we can ask God for something. Now, a lot of us ask God to, like, fix things in our days, make things smoother, help us on a test we didn't study for. How many of you have done that? Me, I'm at the top of that list. "Lord, have mercy on me. I know you want me to do good." He's like, "No, I wanted you to read it." I did. He might want you to. But we all involve God in our daily needs. But how many of us just say to God, "God, I desire you. I want to be with you worse than I want to do well on this test. I want you to be involved in the details of my life, sure, but I have the macro. I want you to be leading my life." And I was 18 years old. I didn't really understand anything, but I knew I wanted God. And I believe that faith, that God was who he said he is, and that he could do everything he said he could do, is what helped build this house. So my question is of you, I guess, what are you asking of God? Where is your faith in the equation? What are you believing him for? Scripture says that when I was 13 years old, this lady came to speak at our youth group. And I don't know about you, but at 13, I had a hard time paying attention. So I was sitting in youth group, and I was thinking there's a guest speaker, and some lady showed up. I honestly don't remember her name, and I feel terrible about it. I'm sure she was lovely. But she said these words, and it changed my life. She said, "Do you know you can ask God for something?" I'd never really thought about it. She said, "God says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask me for it, and I'll give it to you liberally." I was amazed. I was 13. I needed so much wisdom. I was one mistake after the other. I was stretching. I was growing. I was uncomfortable. I was tall and lanky and weird. So I thought, sounds like we can ask God for something, and I don't know if he listens to a 13-year-old, but I'll ask. And do you know that I've spent every single day of my life asking God for wisdom since I was 13? That's 42 years, but please don't add. 42 years I have asked God every single day for wisdom. And interestingly, when I write things or speak at random things, almost inevitably, the thing that people say is, "Man, you have a lot of wisdom."
it's God. All I did was ask. What are you asking God for? It's important. He's trying to build a house of faith and wisdom, and he needs your obedience. I think the most profound thing that we could maybe do in this room, and I have a lot of other talk points that I could give, but it's to listen and to begin the process of obeying. Some of you have heard something so specific from God in these last couple of days, and some of you long to. You want to know what God wants to do with your life. I did not know that this is what God would do with our life. Probably wouldn't have agreed to it. Little bigger than a small 13-year-old girl's mind could comprehend. But he didn't do it all at once. He did it step by step. He did it in a process that stretched us and that built our faith to the degree that we could believe that God could do this. And that's what he's doing in you today. And I think one of the best things we might can do is just to listen to God for a minute. You guys open to doing that? I have this idea, and I know it's crazy, but I'm a little off, as you can tell, that there would be nothing more powerful than a stadium that's knelt before God. I realize that the distance between your knees and the seat in front of you is about this much. That's okay. I think we should put a knee to the ground. Man, I think we should say to God, hey, God, I am yours. I've been awakened to the idea that I can live in a kingdom that's so much bigger than me. That my tiny flame of a life can matter in an eternal flame that lasts forever. That nothing about my life has to be about the number of my days on earth, but actually it can be invested in something that goes way past now. So I've been awakened to that. But how do I do it? What do I do tomorrow? What happens when we get in the van? What's going to go down when I get on that flight and get back to my circumstance, my family, my school that I'm totally suffering in? What's going to happen then? And God says, I want to start in you not just the process of building faith in you, but also of the obedience that's required for you to walk the long haul. I want you to stand in a house of faith and wisdom 30 years from now. Can you even imagine what that will be like? Think for a second about what God might want to do through you. So let's close our eyes for a second. I'm going to give you a second in your seat before I make you uncomfortable. But close your eyes. Imagine yourself 30 years from now. And what kind of a house of faith might I be standing in at that point? Let's bow our knee to God and tell him that the only way that that can happen in us is if he does it. Lord, this is our generation. These are our people. These are your people. And the thing we recognize most in this moment, God, is the only way that we're going to live 30 years from now to see you do the impossible is by your power. So instead of walking out with ideas and dreams and things alone, we bend our knee and we say, God, you are God. And you're good. You're capable of all things and you build beautiful things for your name's sake. God, we just say yes and amen. The greatest thing we can do is agree with you. So instead of just having a lot of ideas, we just say yes and amen to you, God. Here we are, your people, available, open. We desire you, not just where you'll lead us, but you, God. We want to spend our lives with you. Would you take our tiny flame of a life and would you make it matter for something more than ourselves? Would you build your name and your renown through our lives? God, will give you all the credit and glory for it because we know it's you. There's no way we can stand in our life and not recognize that it's you. So we thank you in advance and we believe you for it. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
That was Shelley Giglio speaking live at Passion 2020. If you weren't there in person, you can get a glimpse of what this gathering was like by going on YouTube and searching for Passion 2020 Glimpse. It was remarkable. All the video versions of all the talks are also on YouTube, so make sure to share this episode or any of the other talks from Passion 2020 with someone you know. And if you don't want to miss out on next year, then make sure to head over to passion2021.com, register today, and thanks so much for listening to the Passion Podcast.